Hey, welcome. Carm Capriotto with Remarkable Results Radio is episode 459. You know, in my continuing push to help the service professional understand the value of creating an enduring business culture, you are getting, right now, a deep dive into one California shop who has done an outstanding job of it.
We use these standards in our review process. When we review our staff members, team members on an annual basis, we don't measure them on productivity and comebacks and that stuff. That all gets handled in payroll. We want them to be measured against these standards. I would say it's been one of those profound turning points for our little company.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results. Hi, friends. Carm Capriotto here, the aftermarket podcast guy. You know, Remarkable Results Radio is proud to partner with Napa Auto Care and the 2020 Napa Expo. It's coming to Las Vegas, April 6th through 9th, 2020. Join members of the Napa family and find out the latest news and most up-to-date industry information. Mark your calendar for April 6th through 9th, 2020. Then contact your Napa store for all the details and enrollment information. I'll see you in Las Vegas. And if you want to learn more about Napa Auto Care and the benefits of being part of the Napa family, visit NapaAutoCare.com. You know, I'm on a crusade to get this podcast to as many aftermarket professionals as I can. Because of the input I receive, it confirms the value of our format, content, and wisdom transfer. The only way to help more people climb the stairs to remarkable results is if you share this. Please forward my newsletter or share this episode from your listening app. I know we can help all ships rise, and I know your colleagues will see undisputed value in these conversations with outstanding aftermarket professionals. And if you're brand new to this podcast, it's your first episode, well, then get on board with our ecosystem for free. Discover some of the hottest topics and content you'll find in the aftermarket digital realm, and it's only here on the Premier Automotive Aftermarket Podcast. Go to remarkableresults.biz/listen. Everything's there. You know I'm on a heavy push of late to improve business cultures throughout the industry. Business culture, it's a heavy discussion topic, but of late, we're tackling it head on. My friend Kevin Donahoe from Pacific Motor Service, with two shops in Monterey and Pacific Grove, California, along with his general manager, Jim Hayes, go deep into their culture. They've got a set of standards and values that drive their organization's behavior. You'll learn about the creation of these standards and values. We'll discuss the origins of a few and how these standards and values are the anchor in their enduring business culture. You are about to listen in on a conversation that could be the impulsion to get you started. I believe once you've listened, you'll want to start your work on building yours. By the way, find the talking points with Kevin Donahoe and Jim Hayes at remarkableresults.biz/E459. You'll also find links to their website and links to their standards and values that they are so kind to share. Hey, a really big warm welcome to Kevin Donahoe from Pacific Motor Service, Monterey and Pacific Grove, California. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Carm. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Oh, are you kidding me? I'm thrilled because I think once the audience realizes what we're going to talk about, wow, they're going to be glued. And also with us is Jim Hayes, General Manager of Pacific Motor Service.
Carmen, thank you for having us back.
And you were just recently on with us, Jim. I appreciate you coming on about owner burnout. And I think what happened is that Kevin is so good at minimizing owner burnout that he said, "Hey, you do the show for me."
That's right. Well, he was out on the lake while I was doing the show.
Not quite like that.
Well, that's how I looked at it. Okay, so you've been for 9 years a two location operation.
Yes, we've had two. We actually at one point had four.
Okay.
We sold one of the units off to an employee, and the other was smog check related. And as the smog check program has changed over the years, we actually incorporated that back into our repair centers. So we're down to two units now. But yes, at one point we're up at four.
Good for you. Hey, there's a reason you're here. And the reason is we're going to talk a little bit about, actually a lot about values and standards. But so much on the podcast of late, and I'm kind of almost the point of the plow on improving enduring business culture, and we've recently had a business coaches lab on it. We're going to have two parts of that. And it is a culture is such an important part of growing a great, great business and being a magnet for people to come and work for you and customers to have that high level of, you know, respect, trust and relationship, drop the keys kind of customer, because you do everything that you say you would and more. And they talk about it. When we talk about building culture, we really talk a lot about, you know, the qualities of leadership, emotional intelligence. But at the end of the day, what actually needs to happen is you need to sit down with your people and you need to write it out. And you did such an incredible job of building and sharing with your customer base your values and a set of standards. And I thought that one of the best ways we can do to motivate our industry, shop owners that may not have gone as deep into the value set and the standard, just by going over some of the things that you have, some of the pointers that you have, and why you chose them. And the other great thing I love about it is on your website, you actually, on the home page, have your values and standards listed. And is it, Jim, is it there because you want your customers to hold you accountable?
Well, specifically, it's because we want our customers to know what sort of people we are. And we invite them, actually, when a new client walks in, I would say 75 to 80% of the time, we have a discussion of the standards that are on the wall. And we ask them to kindly hold us accountable. It's our job to service their vehicles and them. It's their job to hold us accountable to the promises.
So the standards are on the wall. Where are the value? Are the values up there, too?
The values aren't on the wall at this point, but the standards are. The value, well, we only have so many feet of wall space, so we can't put everything up there. But that's part of the conversation we have, and it's very intentional.
Kevin, would you mind if we started with the standards, since that's what you're publishing to your customers? And let's go through, I don't know, maybe we can go through all of them. Maybe we can go through half of them and let our listener, we'll put your website on the show page. And they can go and actually look at all of them because they're right on the homepage. What's the first one on that chart behind you, Jim?
The very first one is problem solver. And that is, I think it's indicative of what we do here on a daily basis, whether it be from a personnel standpoint, where we're working with our internal team and solving problems that they're dealing with, or with the clients specifically. You mentioned EQ, right? The emotional intelligence aspect of this is a constant problem-solving event. And, of course, when we're fixing cars, they bring us something broken. We have to figure out and solve the problem. And I think Kevin's responsible for the wording on this one, so he might be able to speak to why he worded it this way.
No problems, only solutions. That was something I learned many years ago where I had a short stint working for Snap-on Tool Corporation for a short period of my life. And that was one of the descriptions that you would see from time to time in different managers' office. We are the experts. We're problem solvers. We can get this done. And to dive into a problem without a path and a kind of a clear direction to go typically means you're not going to come up with the solutions that you need to for that moment. So that's where this came from, part of where this came from, I should say. Since by nature, our job is to solve problems from the service advisor to the technician to the service attendant, customers count on us for solutions to their individual needs. And that couldn't be more true. Our clients, both our external clients and our internal clients, are looking to Kevin and Jim to solve problems. So, you know, with regard to the company and solving problems, Jim and Kevin were the problem with the company in terms of leadership and problem solving, but we're also part of that solution as well. So we just have to keep that in the forefront of our minds.
One of the things that I've always known is that the values, the standards, and the purpose, vision, mission of the company, that big ball that, you know, really is maybe an anchor or is an anchor for culture. When any one of us in the company strays to the left or the right, there's always a value or a standard that you can point to and bring them back in alignment. And have you used the values and the standards for those coaching moments?
We use these values and standards on a constant basis, whether it be daily or by the hour. We work very close with our team, as most people out there do, I'm sure. But I think I spoke to you about this briefly last time I was on, about our leadership meeting that we have every week. So we've got the entire technical staff involved and some of the support staff. involved in some pretty heavy duty reading, which encompasses values and standards and growth. And it might be business perspectives, or it may just be simple leadership books. I won't say simple, but some of them are pretty dense. However, the values aspect of that is really what houses and encompasses the standards, right? And we start very, very quickly to discuss that in our interview process. And we discuss it all the way through the end of their employment if they ever decide that they need to leave, right? And it really starts with integrity. Integrity is our very first value. And we put it in that order because without integrity, you really have nothing. I think that's a famous quote from Peter Drucker and many more.
I love you. You are so perfectly playing into exactly what I want our industry to hear. Thank you for that. And by the way, I love this problem solver, only solutions, no problems, only solutions. So when someone comes to you and says, hey, boss, I have a problem, they should know that in the other hand, there should be a solution. How beautiful that is for problem solving, but how beautiful it is to solve customers' problems.
You're absolutely right. It's being able to solve the client's problems, whether it's money, time, inconvenience, whatever it is, that's what we're here for. That is truly what we're here. Fixing the car, servicing the cars, that's the given. That's what people expect from us at a minimum. To be able to solve other issues that come along with time and money and inconvenience, that to a certain extent, that's what sets it apart, sets us apart. But that's what we should be doing. That's how you should serve people. Whether it's the folks coming in with a Visa card or a checkbook, or the internal clients coming to Kevin or Jim for help, for whatever their needs might be. We have to be able to provide them with solutions to whatever conditions they're facing.
When I look at values and when I look at standards, tell me if I'm in the right pew when I think that standards are the how-to and the values are the why-to.
Right, church, maybe even the right pew. I think that would be a low resolution look at it, the how and the why. I think your values are also a bit the how, really. You know, I think the why, if you look at the cynic version of the why, Simon Sinek, that is, not the cynical, the why you do it is different for every company.
Mm-hmm.
Not maybe every company, but many companies. Kevin's why is different than another person's why. Why we have this business, why the technicians work on cars is different between from technician to technician. Why I'm in the industry is different than the person downstairs covering the counters in the industry. However, the values, I think, encompass the how as well as the why. I think they're more encompassing than the standards. I think they involve both of those. Does that make sense?
To me, it does. Thank you for clearing that up. I feel much better about it. Hey, let's keep jumping into some of these because I think there's some fabulous ones to share. You're former military, right?
Jim? Correct.
And I love the next standard, squared away. I learned that in the Army.
Well, yeah, that's a big one that we have. Squared away is a common vernacular in the military. And again, I have to defer to Kevin, but Kevin, I think, wrote this one. I wouldn't have selected it because it's such a military sort of term, but he liked it. He really liked it, right? Squared away. So, and I'm hopefully not throwing him under the bus there, but it is a good one. And it's really something that I use on a daily basis. And if you've been in the military, you probably have too, right? If you're not being, Harlan, let me get it back here so I can use it exactly. If you're not being proactive, you're underperforming. Squared away is a term used by the United States military to describe one whose performance exceeds standards and has continued outstanding performance consistently over time. And really, in the military, if you're there and you say an individual is squared away, that's a person that you can rely upon to do whatever needs to be done, when or before it needs to be done. Simply put.
Love it. Number three, articulate.
Our favorite. Well, one of our top nine favorites.
Yeah, articulate. How many times have you walked into a business, whether it's a restaurant or a grocery store, and the words that came out of the person's mouth on the other side of the counter didn't make sense? Nothing can be worse than walking into an automotive service garage or center, and the person on the other side of the counter cannot articulate what the technicians have brought to them. They can't articulate to the technicians what the client has brought to them. We need to be able to speak clearly and distinctly. We have to. If we don't, we're in trouble. We have to be better. We have to consistently look for ways to share the message in terms that people understand, the external client, the internal client, between us. We have to be able to speak at a level that makes sense, that can be understood and repeated to the person listening.
I think there's a big misconception within the industry, and this is a bone of contention for Kevin, that the industry is largely distrusted. And I don't believe it's because there's a bunch of evil people out there trying to take advantage of the public. Well, there are probably some. I think it's the lack of the ability to manage expectations and to clearly articulate what needs to be happening, the accurate costs, or at least within a range, and then to get things done within those parameters. And if those parameters change at any moment, to continue the conversation and articulate what's happening. And in order to do that, it takes a lot of energy and effort, and it takes some background knowledge in how to do that. And that leads into our leadership program that we have, but it also is supported by a program that Kevin kind of pushes everybody into eventually, just from sheer force of will, and that's Toastmasters. I think I would be willing to bet that we're one of the few small businesses out there that actually promote our staff to go into Toastmasters just so they can learn how to communicate. And that's not only communicating from a verbal perspective, that's also learning how to listen. You know, there's a tremendous amount of listening and evaluating other people's communication that goes into that Toastmasters project. And I'm not I'm not proselyting here, but I did do my time in Toastmasters, and it was extremely valuable for a guy who's got some background in high-level communications. It was still a super big value, and Kevin has managed to finagle his way into getting many of his staff members into participating with that. And one of our guys has been in it for 4 or 5 years, and he's gone through every leadership aspect of Toastmasters, and it's made a huge difference in how he communicates. He's a technician. How he communicates with us at the front, and if we need him to talk to a client or take a test drive with a client, he's now able to go in and speak the sort of language that they need to hear in order to continue that process.
I talk about how much fun I have doing this. It's my favorite Thursday morning of the week. I get one. It's my favorite one. We meet from 6:45 to 8 o'clock every week, and it's a great way to wake up. It's challenging, as Jim said, with regard to listening and providing feedback. It has been instrumental in helping me, both with my clients, my internal and external clients, with students that I teach at the community college, and perhaps most importantly, as a husband and parent. It's really helped me become a better listener and communicator. So I talk about this with the guys and ladies. And over the years, we've had a high percentage of our staff get involved. The technician that Jim talked about, he's been our club president now. He's in his second term and has a blast with it. I actually work for him in that setting. And I always address him as Mr. President, even in the shop setting. And you can see the pride that he takes in it. This is a man that I think English is his first language, but he has certainly worked hard at developing those communication skills that has helped him rise his leadership level within the company as well.
So I'm spellbound to hear that you are bringing Toastmasters to this level within your company, and some of your people have responded the way they have. And this is exactly where the automotive aftermarket, the independent automotive aftermarket, has to rise to build great cultures and to build great businesses and start bringing your business into the professional arena. These are great examples. Great examples. Standards. The next standard, guys, is autodidactic. Help me with that one.
Well, didactic is a term, again, I'll give credit to Kevin here, but I'll start with this one. Didactic is a term used roughly to discover and investigate things on your own, right? To learn, to be of the mind of learning with the intent to teach. That would be the exact background of didactic. Now, auto is a word that Kevin thought that he might stick in front of that and create someone who does that learning on their own. We've talked about squared away, someone who's always engaged in proactive activity. Autodidactic would be someone who's engaged in being a self-learner. And that's critical in today's world with the vehicles that we're dealing with, because the vehicles are getting smarter by the megabit byte, and the technology is getting faster and more sophisticated. So it's important that we, as people in that industry, learn on our own. We don't have it given to us all the time. So Kevin, you can take it from there.
So I give Toastmasters credit for this word. It was a word of the day some years ago. I'd never heard the word before, and it was described. Wow, that really resonates with me. So as we were developing these standards, and I'll tell you, Carm, that this list of standards didn't happen in a sit-down meeting over a beer. This happened over several months with the entire team involved. And when I brought this word autodidactic up, they all kind of laughed and giggled. But the more that we thought about it, it made sense. Because we're really after that curious person, that curious personality, the person that really wants to continue to learn, that goes home at night when they go home at night and they are reading and listening and watching because they want to know more. Who wouldn't want a person like that on your team? I do. And that's part of what we look for. When Jim mentioned earlier that we use the standards in our interview process, and that is true, we talk about them. We talk about them on Monday morning in our tech class from 8 to 9 o'clock. We also use these standards, and I'm getting to a global view now, but we use these standards in our review process. When we review our staff members, team members on an annual basis, we don't measure them on productivity and comebacks and that stuff. That all gets handled in payroll. We want them to be measured against these standards. And it has, I would say, it's been one of those profound turning points for our little company.
Well, we take the angle that performance issues are downstream problems produced by lack of standards and values. I think it would be argued that it's within the purview of a solid set of standards and values that an individual can properly perform his tasks or his duties or live his life, however that is. So the only thing that is on our annual review are the standards.
Yes. We took this, if I use child rearing, I have five kids. We set very strict and firm boundaries, loving boundaries, but boundaries with our kids, which could be argued would be a set of standards for family standards. But in the company setting, these standards, as Jim mentioned, have really helped dial in the focus from everybody within the company, everyone. When we have tech meeting on Monday mornings, we typically talk about one of the standards that may be related to a success or a challenge that happened in the prior week, whoever's running the meeting. So it's a real thing for us.
Hey, it's Carm, and I'm back to talk Napa Auto Care and auto tech training. Now, as a repair shop owner, you know technical training is essential in the ever-changing world of automotive technology. Or as one auto care owner put it, train or you'll phase yourself right out of business. Thanks to Napa Auto Tech, technicians can keep their skills sharp and their Napa know-how up to date by attending hands-on classroom-style training for almost every vehicle make and model. You can choose from classes in diagnostics, heating and cooling, electrical electronics, brake systems, ignition and fuel systems, plus a whole lot more. Napa Auto Tech is the highest quality training the industry has to offer, and it's presented by experienced instructors who are ASE Master Certified Technicians. Now, some have owned their own shops, and they all have a detailed automotive background. The trainers consistently receive excellent ratings from the technicians who attend. Even after the class is over, techs can access course information online with ClassPass. So when questions come up later, they can use ClassPass to get the answers 24/7 from any computer with an internet connection. Now, what's more, Napa Auto Tech has been accredited by ASE's Continuing Automotive Service Education Program, reviewed against industry standards, and approved by peers. Don't just take my word for it. Auto Care Center owners who have taken advantage of Auto Tech training say that well-trained technicians are helping to increase their shop's repair capability and raise bay productivity. Now, that results in fewer comebacks, more satisfied shop customers, and reduced technician turnover. It's hard to beat that. Your servicing Napa store can tell you even more about the benefits of Auto Tech training, plus the many other reasons to become part of the Napa family with over 17,000 Napa Auto Care Centers from coast to coast, making it the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Next standard, respect. Wow, that's just like almost a given.
Yeah, that's a given. Respect is a given. Respect is given before it is received. Respect is for neighbors, respect for the environment, and respect for ourselves. Be respectful at all times. Show respect without ego and with faith in the innate human ethic of reciprocity. It's really about building a long-term relationship of trust and respect with our clientele, internal or external, that provides room for some difficult conversations at time to time, from time to time. But it also really spells out the foundation with which we will have every relationship. I mean, it's really based on respect. You know, some people say you don't have to be liked, but you have to be respected. I think if you're going to be respected properly, you also have to be liked. But it's really about living the sort of a life that allows people to respect you and having the sort of a business that allows the outside world to respect the business. And it's central to the standards and it's central to the values that we have to wake up and embrace every day.
I think you said it better than I could have. Yeah, he did. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. So look it, we can go through each and every one of these, but I'm not sure that's what I want to do. And I want to promote the fact that your website will be on. Actually, just give us the website.
Yeah, it's pacificmotorservice.com.
I'll have a link on your show notes page. On the homepage, you can see these, and there's also a link that you can see a page with the values and the standards linked up. The rest of the standards are systems, master of your craft, test, don't guess, neat and clean, ambassador, and dress with pride. I love these. The reason that you're here and that we've kind of, if you will, whetted the appetite of our industry is the behind the scenes here is being able to sit with your team and your group and develop this. And, the words end up coming. I'm sure you threw a ton of post-it notes up on the wall and ideas, and then you probably continue to shrink down the definition and the meaning and the right words. Could you explain to our listener the process that it took to build the standards? And we're going to kind of go a little bit into values here, but both values and standards. How would you recommend someone start to build this?
I came from an elite unit in the military, which is very clear on standards and values and expectations. And when I left the military, I went to a place that was very keen on standards and values. It was called Pebble Beach. Many of you may know where that is, but the one thing that they really adhere to is high standards and clear values. And they had a little acronym with their standards of value. It was PB standards, kind of like I copied, and it's now PMS or PM standards, right? It's basically kind of their idea that I took. And we sat down and we said, in order to have a business, and I was brought on board to kind of fill some gaps in the business, we have to understand what we're looking for and what we're trying to do and what we're trying to accomplish and how we're trying to accomplish that. So it took us some weeks and months, and I think primarily it was Kevin and I, but we got some input from other staff members too. And it really was sitting down to understand what we want to be. And it's not about setting aspirational goals or aspirational standards. It's what we can actually do and what we can on a daily basis talk about internally and measure our progress by. And all of our decisions are informed by them. So we live these standards and live these values. If it's we bring this up in our interviews and we ask people, we certainly go as far as to say, these are our standards and values, and we are outliers in the industry. And if you fit these, then this might be a great place for you. If you don't fit these values and standards, if you disagree anywhere here, then the interview process might be good to end the interview process here. And we have a pretty long one. So we bring it up pretty clearly, but we just went through it step by step, understanding that we wanted to have standards and values that we could operate by every day.
So I'm sitting and doing the interview with you. You ask me and you go over the standards and the values and I look at them and I know I need a job so bad that my answer is yes, I absolutely can sign on to these. How long does it take to find out that that was a lie?
Quite a while, but they don't make it through. Kevin can explain our interview process to you and you can see why the filtering process works pretty well.
Yes, our interview process, Karim, is multi-layered. It takes several sessions, anywhere from four to six sessions, and there's homework assignments in between. So the first interview, we call it a drive-by interview. It's to get to know a person, shake their hand, they can walk around the shop and see what it's about. But we talk about these standards, and if they, as you said, they need a job and they shake their head yes up and down and they say, yep, I'm all in, part of that second interview process is we want to understand their values. We want to understand their standards. And we give them some examples and have them write them out for us. And if they choose to do this and they come back for a second interview, we have them go through it and explain what it means to them. We really want to see if they're serious, if these are values that they can, that they do live by, and that makes sense for us as a company. And, you know, when someone comes in, ultimately, if they get through the process and they come in, we want them to come be part of us. We're not looking to necessarily become part of them. So in that, you know, in that whole process of these interview steps, each step from step two to step three to step four to the last one, which is a meal out with the he or she and the significant other, just in a social setting to see how that all works out. We want to make sure that every step of that process makes sure that they're coming to become part of us, every step of that process. But going back to your original question about these standards and the potential employee standards, we test it. We have them write it out, and then we ask them about it. Jimmy mentioned that he was part of an elite team in the military, and part of that elite team training was with interrogation. And so we don't necessarily interrogate them, but we do use some of the tactics that are done in interrogation process to make sure that they're being truthful with us.
Well, that's overstated.
However, that being said, we have ample time. We have five or six interviews, and there's a lot of conversation. Like Kevin mentioned, we have them write their mission statement. Why would Pacific Motor Service fulfill their dreams or working at Pacific Motor Service? And then they have an opportunity to write. Now, I dissect their language so that we have something to talk about during the next interview. And that gives them a chance to either elaborate or be found out, to answer your question. And then that last process is with their significant other. We're actually out with a spouse to dinner. And then they have a chance to say, hey, you know what? My husband may have said this, but it probably won't be a good fit. And we haven't had that happen yet, but for the most part, that gives everybody a chance to say, is this really going to be a fit? And that's what the ultimate goal is.
I like what you said. They get found out, and it doesn't take long after that if they're just saying, nodding the head because they want a job. Right. You know, what I have, my big takeaway from both of you on this whole interview process was, listen, if you had a chance to interview for a new family member, how careful would you be?
You're absolutely right, Carm.
Kevin's done that a couple of times.
That's right. This is a family. Heck, I spend more time with the men and women that I get to work with every day than I do at home with my wife and, well, my kids when they were younger. I love these people. I have more fun now at this stage in my career than I've ever had. It is truly a joy to get to come to work every day and work with the men and women of Pacific Motor Service. Working alongside Jim, I have become a better business owner. I've become a better person. You just have talked to Jim a few times over your podcast system. I had the opportunity to meet him many years ago, and I work side by side with him every day. And you learn very quickly that there's a lot that goes on between the earlobes. And so I've been the beneficiary, as has everybody within our company. And I would dare to say even some of our vendors that we are close to locally that have sent employees in and managers in to come participate in our Wednesday morning class, or will meet one-on-one for that kind of coaching and counsel. It's a gift that keeps on giving for me and my company.
Good for you. Yeah. I see the value. I mean, I just by talking to Jim now two times, the value that he brings to the company, very articulate. Your military background shows through, but at the same time, you're just a real guy, Jim.
Well, I try to be a real guy. I try, you know, and it really is about, and Kevin's right. I probably brought a package, and he calls me the onion because he keeps peeling things off. He says there's always something additional, but in all honesty, he's given me the freedom and the parameters within to grow within that. I didn't come here 8 years ago or 9 years ago like I am now today. I had some of what I have, but he's given me the opportunity and the freedom to say, okay, this is what we need as a company. Let's start to develop it. And I would think that there are many owners out there that would shy away from that. But he's provided me the opportunity, you know, as our group, I call it our leadership team. As our leadership team, we've read over the last 5 years, 85 books. And that's more than one a month. And this, for the most part, I'd say our staff is pretty average across the board. They're not extraordinary. They didn't come from Harvard. They don't have PhDs. they came from local automotive technology courses from junior colleges and your schools, your for-profit schools, and they've come in and through our screening process, we'll call it, the hiring process, we also talk about that. And if you fit this box, if you fit within this box of these standards and the values, and you're interested in this this leadership aspect of it, which is, oh, by the way, not compensated. That's an uncompensated portion of our business. They've come through, and we talked about the gentleman from Toastmasters. His name is Miles. But he's come through, and he's read 60 or 70 of these books. And he's gone from a guy who, not to get too involved in it, but has worked under the table his whole life and loves to wear leather jackets and ride motorcycles and get speeding tickets, to a guy who's now read some pretty high-level, even graduate-level information, assimilated it, taken on the task of this Toastmasters program that Kevin likes to push, and has grown into one of our very best producers with a completely different mindset. So from that perspective, we go from serving the public and keeping the fleet running to now taking a group of specifically selected, I think you could say that for our, for us, individuals who are capable of now viewing the world in a, with a completely different paradigm and following different standards and values that ever that they've ever even considered.
No doubt you guys are building leaders in your company.
Leaders made here.
Yes. People with heart, Carm.
Yep.
These men and women have heart.
I love it. Okay. I want to list your values. So even though we didn't cover it, people will find them on your website. The values are integrity, growth, service, urgency, patience, passion, discipline, and perseverance. Excellent. They're all defined. I love them. And I don't believe we have the time to go into that level of depth on each of those. However, the standards and the values are critically important for your company and for any company to have. So guys, as we get ready to finish up this interview, the biggest challenge I believe the industry has is, how do I get started? I believe everyone out there knows that they need to have a set of values of purpose and standards. Wow, it's an undaunting task. I can't believe it's an Everest I have to climb. Can you help clear up how easy it really is to get started?
I think that easy isn't necessarily the word, hard or easy. I think it's a commitment to understanding a little bit more about yourself, a little bit more about why you're doing what you're doing, and how you're doing it, of course. But I think it's really about starting and beginning to understand what your personal core values are. And I think that too many people go too many years without understanding what they, how they view the world and how their values impact the people around them. Dr. Henry Cloud wrote a book called Integrity, funny, which isn't specifically about the run-of-the-mill definition of integrity, but is about integral individual, someone who's complete. And he talks about one of the analogies he uses, the wake of a boat. And every boat that goes through the water creates a wake behind it, whether that's a good wake or a positive or bad wake, a positive or a negative. And I think it really comes down to understanding what your individual core values are, not from a theoretical perspective, but from a hard, written down version of what you stand for and what you believe. And once you've achieved that, which is no simple task, but once you've kind of distilled it down to the three or four core values that you specifically are going to live by, then and only then can you start to create values for your company and the people around you.
I want to provide a little more context, and it's not to answer your question about how easy was it. It was not easy. I want to talk about it from the business owner standpoint, from the user standpoint. One of the reasons why I asked Jim to come and help me fill some of the gaps or holes that were in my little business. And the end result for me with the standards and the values that we have is that we speak a very similar language now. There are expectations that, or I should say, there are the expectations that are in place are clear. It has created clarity. I wrote this word down as you were asking the question, clarity. It has created a level of clarity in this little business that has not existed in the past. Having these standards in place, measuring each one, each person's performance by these standards, holding myself accountable to these standards when I am reviewed to see if I've met these standards, it has created a level of clarity and trust from that clarity that I have not experienced in my 40 plus years of doing this. It's been over, the last 5 to 7, 8 years, Jim, in that window that we've had this in place.
Yeah.
And as I said, I love coming to work every day. It's not a job. It's a love affair with what I get to do. And I would say a large part of that is the results of and the effects of having these standards and values in place and making them important enough to our internal clients that we talk about them and discuss them on a regular basis. And then having the wherewithal to talk about these to our external clients so they understand that this is real. This is who we are. This is what we do, and this is how we do it. It's the real deal. And it has created that level of clarity that allows me to sleep really well at night.
How many years you been in business, Kevin?
This is my 81 is when I got started in business, and I started working on cars in 77.
Okay, a long time. But yet, you built this new, strong, incredible business culture only in the last 5 to 7 years.
Jim and I were just talking about this last night. Yes. And again, when I brought Jim into this, I begged him to come help me out here. He stepped into a system that had some good people in it, but without these firm boundaries. Mm-hmm. We'll call them boundaries for the moment. It was a little bit of the wild, wild west with me in charge. And to bring in some of the discipline factors that Jim has in place, and then some of the tactical pieces that needed to be in place to make the strategies work well, was instrumental. But yes, it has not been this way for 20 or 30 years. It's been this way for less than a decade. And it's getting better. I think we're just starting to get good at this. And with time and dedication and discipline, we'll get better.
So it doesn't happen overnight. It takes some time. It's never too late to start. It's good to have an enduring culture in your business, to have standards and values and vision and mission. And I'm just a 4-bay shop with about 6 people who work here. And why the hell do I have to do this?
Well, that's a terrible question.
Because I can't. Because I can't. I am not built for this. I just can't do this. I'm a tech. I'm in the office. I don't want to be there. I want to be in the bays. But yet, I know I've got great people and a great business and a great marketplace, and I really need to take that next leap.
Well, the next leap is, again, it goes back to internal. And I'm talking about intrinsic, personal value system. What do you want from your 4-bay 6-tech or 6-tech 4-bay shop? What's the long term? We're talking now, is it an infinite or is it a finite game, right? If you're looking at a finite game where you're trying to win one set of, play within one set of rules for a very short period of time, whether it be 10 years or 30 years, and then shutter the operation and move on, then I think you've got a good question. Why should I? Why should I take the time for that? And there are those that have the hobby shops and want to do that. Fair enough. I would submit that most of the people listening to this podcast aren't minded that way. And if that's the case, and you're looking at a more infinite time span where you're trying to build an enduring great company, to use a phrase, and by doing that, you must then have standards and values that are going to inform every decision that you make so that you can grow. And scaling these businesses are tough, but growth doesn't always mean scale. Sometimes growth means just being as good as you can be. And I think you cannot do that without a set of core values. I would say a set of core values is way more valuable than the standards at that point. You know, and if you've got good, solid, fundamental, foundational values, then honing out some standards from that really is kind of simple. And there's only, it's a long answer to a short question, and I don't really understand the mindset of why should I? However, if your game is to extend the process and stay in the game, then the only way to succeed is by living by a set of values. And they don't have to be mine. They don't have to be great. They don't have to be super awesome values, but they have to exist. And it's not working on a culture once. It's working on a culture intentionally over time until the game is over.
Carm, I want to add to that. In fact, I want to add it from perhaps just a slightly different perspective in what you described. I'm the shop owner. I'm the technician. I don't want to be dealing with this nonsense. I really don't. I just want to go fix the cars and do what I have been trained to do and I really enjoy to do. That's me. That was me. And that's still me. Fortunately, Jim and I have a good working partnership. He does a lot of the professional development work. I do the technical side and work with the staff on that end of business development. And then we, of course, work on the professional development as a group. But the culture that has been developed over these years as a result of these pieces that we put in place, a good, strong set of values and the standards that are supported by that, and then talking and living them out day in and day out, day in and day out, it has created a culture that is like a close-knit family that is functional, a functionally efficient close-knit family. And it has been powerful. So to speak to your shop owners that may be the technician in the shop that says, I don't have the time. It's okay to not have the time. What's not okay is if you don't get help to develop these, get some help. Do what you do best, hire in somebody that can do the rest for you, or at least support you in that side of it.
Yeah, because my question was, I don't have a gym. What do I do next? And what you just said is get some help.
Get some help.
Get some help.
Professional help that will come in and help coach you through this. And if you're going to be an owner-operator and operate at that level, it doesn't mean that you have to do it quite like this. But as Jim mentioned, you've got to have something in place. You've got to have something to hold on to that will keep you moving in the right direction day in and day out as an individual sole proprietor or as a company with multiple team members. Without it, you're in trouble.
Thank you so much. Wow, how very influential episode here. Eye-opening. I think I challenged you to try to put yourselves in the place of many in our industry who need to do this. And thank you for pushing like you did. I sure do appreciate this. Thanks, Kevin Donahoe. Jim Hayes, Pacific Motor Service out in Monterey and Pacific Grove, California. It was just enlightening. Enlightening. Can you come? Would you come back and we'll do some more on this?
Absolutely. That would be a blast to come back. And Carm, I want to thank you for putting yourself out there to do what you're doing. You know, 20, 30 years ago, of course, this technology didn't quite exist like it does today. But the messaging that you have and the resource that you have made available to folks like us, thank you so much for having us on today.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time. We'll